Blog Talk Radio.
I may be a soldier, I'll stand up for you. When your world comes crashing down, I'll be the one to hold you. Let me be a soldier, I'll fight for you. When you're up against the wall, I will pull you through.
South Florida Connects provides straight spouse awareness support.
Have you found out that you're a straight spouse? Are you worried about what that means for you and your family now? South Florida Connects is here for you. We are a local Miramar nonprofit outreach and advocacy organization that provides straight spouse awareness support to men and women who need help to deal with the devastating realization that their spouse or significant other is secretly gay. We are here for you. Visit us at our website at southfloridaconnects.com. That's southfloridaconnects.com. Or call our support hotline at 954-983-9751 and leave us a message with your contact information, and our peer support specialist will contact you. Or you can email us at sfconnects@gmail.com. That's sfconnects@gmail.com to share the details and say what help you need. Call us if you want to have a seminar or support group meeting at your church, business, or organization.
Let me be a soldier, I'll die for you.
Hello, and welcome to Straight Spouse Awareness by South Florida Connects. I am Debbie Thomas Brown, your host, and for this program, I want to share some insightful words that came from a book written by Dr. Jean Shar Garoff, and this book is entitled When Husbands Come Out of the Closet, and in chapter 10 of her book, she gives some advice to wives and husbands. And I just want to read the section where she gives advice to the wives. Some of this may not apply to you, but some of it will, and you may know friends or relatives who it will apply to. She said, having company in one's misery doesn't necessarily make one happy, but it does help to relieve the sense of isolation. And that is so true. So she said to try to remember that you are not alone. You are in an extremely large crowd, and you need hardly be ashamed of the company you are keeping. Try to remember that you are not alone in the kinds of feelings that you have had, presently have, or have in the future, or will have in the future. Whether those feelings are positive, negative, or simply confused, and even changing, no matter how crazy they may seem to you, they have been shared by others. The same is true of your actions. Your marriage is not necessarily doomed, because it depends on how you look at marriage and what you want to do, what you want to put up with. So it may well improve, as well as it may get worse, depending on how you look at it. But from my perspective, Debbie Thomas Brown is talking now. I haven't spoken to anyone who found out that they were in a relationship with a gay man and had the marriage improve. So that's the point of view I'm coming from. I have not met anyone who had a positive experience after the disclosure or the discovery. But some people say they do. So you may have many options, and you need time to let the dust settle a little in order to explore and assess them. Now, and according to Dr. Garo, you should try not to blame yourself and don't accept others blaming you for either your husband's same-sex orientation, his thoughts, or his behaviors. Neither has anything to do with your looks, your sexual competence, your personality, your sexual orientation, your general mental health, your femininity, your adequacy as a wife, or anything else about you or your behavior. His gay orientation has nothing to do with any of that. You did not cause either his gay orientation, his gay feelings, or his actions, nor will you be in the future. Of course, your options or decisions may affect his own decisions about what to do about his feelings. But in the final analysis, his decisions are his responsibility. You can only be responsible for yours. She also said to avoid letting this issue take over your life. Think and talk about it until you reach the point of diminishing returns. That's like solitary thinking can sometimes reach this point in about 10 minutes. And then force yourself back to business as usual for the time being, because this is going to happen over and over again, but don't dwell on it entirely. Shutting the door and pretending that the same-sex orientation doesn't exist is not helpful to you in the long run. It does exist. Your husband is gay. It won't go away. And even if your husband decides to forego extramarital sex or tries to keep it away from your consciousness, life may or may not be much different, but it will never be exactly the same for you. You need to confront the issue squarely if you expect to either prevent future problems or solve them with minimum rather than maximum pain. If you are new to the situation and are feeling relatively calm and positive, that's great. Be glad. Perhaps with the new information and guidelines that you can find on our website at SouthFloridaConnects.com and in a number of other books that are online at Amazon.com and other bookstores, you will get information that will help you, information that will provide something that will help you to change those feelings. You should be prepared, however, for periods of confusion, anger, depression, discouragement, turmoil, stress, and mood changing. If or when you are in the midst of one of these periods, try to remember that they are natural and that eventually confusion, anger, and grief will abate. Pin up on your wall or in your mind a reminder that judging from others' experiences, you will eventually find happiness for yourself, no matter whether you may stay married or divorced. I want you to just know that you are not in this alone. And as I'm reading from Dr. Shore's book, When Husbands Come Out of the Closet, and I'm taking some information from chapter 10 of this book, because some of you have probably already read this, But for those of you who have not read it, and even if you have, I'm doing this now so that you can go back and listen to it whenever you want to. You may have given yourself some lectures over and over and over and over again, but don't blame yourself for any of this. Okay. Dr. Shar said, you should be patient with yourself. If you find that you can't or don't know how to follow such advice, that she has been, you know, what I've been reading here from her book, that you seem to have lost your common sense. You are not alone if that happens to you. No matter how simple it should be or how simple people tell you it is, the situation that you're facing can be complex and confusing. In essence, you and your husband or your significant other are blazing new trails. So don't be distressed with yourself if you sometimes lose your way. Just know that if you do, you can reach out for help. You can send an email to sfconnects@gmail.com or you can call our hotline at 954-983-9751. You can go to our Blog Talk Radio channel and listen to our programs at blogtalkradio.com/straight spouse awareness, because we are here to help support you. There are support groups. We have a support group. You can send an email to sfconnects@gmail.com, and I will send you the information so you can join the support group. We have a local face-to-face support group here in South Florida that we meet twice per month, every second and fourth Wednesday. So if you need information for that too, you can also send me an email at sfconnects@gmail.com, because you are not alone in this. You are not alone. Because remember, we are here to help you get through this. So don't be distressed with yourself if you sometimes lose your way. You will eventually find it, no matter how lost you feel right now. Try to look beyond. You know, you might say, why am I saying this to you? But I'm going to say it because some people need to be able to do this. To try to look beyond the same-sex orientation. Because most people tell me that that is not even what bothered them the most. The thing that bothered them the most was the deception. You know, so try to look past the same-sex orientation and focus on the main issue here, the deception. That is what is the problem, the deception. So so try to look beyond that. Your husband has not changed simply because you now know he's gay. He's the same man. He has not changed. He's the same person he's always been. He now allowed you to find out, or he told you that he has same-sex orientation. What you liked before, you may still continue to like. And what you did not like before, you may definitely dislike even more. You might be able to be more understanding now that you know, because you may have been going crazy wondering what you did wrong, what you're not doing right, what you could fix to make everything different. But now you know that you could not have changed anything. You know now. So you might be able to be more understanding now that you know. And you may be able to allow some changes will make you feel more at ease in your skin. But remember, no matter how many compromises you're going to make, don't compromise to the point where you put yourself in a worse situation where nothing happens to meet your needs. Don't do that. You need to stand up for your own rights. You need to ask the questions that you need to ask and insist on the same flexibility, consideration, and understanding from your son that he asks and expects from you. That is if you're staying in the relationship, because I know some of you are going to hightail it out of there. But for those of you who are planning to stay or thinking about staying, you have to have this mindset that you're not going to give away all your rights. You're not going to be bending over backward to accommodate him because you feel empathetic. But you have to make sure that your needs are met and your rights are not being taken away. Don't blame yourself for your choice of husband. You probably had a good reason to choose him. He may have filled your needs at the time. Now you need to examine those reasons that you married him. Do they still exist? Are the qualities you liked before still there? If not, why not? Are they simply buried in confusion? Can they be brought back? How have your needs changed? Are your present needs being met? This is very important. If not, why not? Can the two of you find ways to make them meet? To meet them? If not, maybe it's time to move on. Maybe it's time to get a divorce. You have to think about all of that. Recognize that you are there and take responsibility for creating some of your own happiness. Don't depend on your ex, your gay spouse to do it without expecting him to satisfy all your needs. Remember, you have to take responsibility for satisfying some of your own needs. All wives and husbands need to make this assessment. You are not the only one. And this applies to whether you are in a mixed orientation relationship or you're in a straight relationship. In making these assessments, use your new knowledge, the disclosure or the discovery, to facilitate your own personal growth and development. Actually, everybody who this has happened to has developed and grown in a positive way. So that will happen to you too. That will happen to you too. Evaluate your own needs and wishes, your own strengths and weaknesses, your options, and the ways in which you might increase your options. Then choose among the options you want, taking the steps necessary to enhance the old and add in new ones. For example, for those of you who want to stay in the marriage, if the marriage is generally good, but neither of you is feeling sexually satisfied, you may need to explore new sexual options. I'm not telling you what to do here, because some of you are staying. So you will need to evaluate that option. If your sexual needs are not being met, you will need to evaluate that. I have something else I want to share with you too. Don't struggle with this situation alone. It simply becomes too confusing at times. Even if you are in that happy second honeymoon that some straight spouses talk about, for those of you who stay, even if you are in that second honeymoon, the aftermath of a positive because of the aftermath of a positive disclosure, it's very, very important for you to get some help. Professional help is recommended. Although it's not so easy to find a professional counselor who understands straight path awareness, but try. You may find one. A few people really didn't see any need to get any help, any professional help. They didn't see any need. So maybe you will be like that too, but you need to reach out. Whatever you do, you need to reach out. Try not to isolate yourself. Try not to isolate yourself. Because, like I said before, it's good to get professional counseling, even though it's hard to find a counselor who might understand straight path awareness. But more and more people are making the effort to learn about it. So try to get all the help that you can. If you withdraw from your family and your friends, they may or may not sense the pain that's underneath. They may not understand why. So, but they will, you know, they will be apt to feel rejected, helpless, hurt, and angry. So try not to withdraw yourself and isolate yourself from the people who care and love you. You will have moments when you don't want to be around anyone. But try not to withdraw and isolate yourself. Because your family may not understand. So your option for finding satisfying emotional relationships begin with your immediate circle of friends and family members. So, rather than decreasing your relationship, you know, people around you who can love you and care for you, reach out. You need companionship. And it doesn't have to be opposite sex companionship, because you should avoid that right now. If you are afraid of bursting into tears, so to speak, you know, like being a drag around people, you might plan some kind of strategy. You know, one woman, for example, she told her friend that I am going through some things right now that I can't talk to you about yet. But sometimes I might need to cry. And I just want you to just hold me while I cry. One day I'll be able to tell you about it, but I can't talk about it right now. So if you are in that situation, that could probably work for you. That could probably work for you. But in the meantime, you need to be able to talk about it. There are some people who you might be able to talk about it, and some people you won't be able to talk to them about it. You know, part of people's reaction to someone who cries when you might talk and cry, like me, sometimes I'm talking and the tears just come. But, you know, it's not that bad these days. It used to be a lot easier for the tears to come, but it doesn't come so easily now because I am on my healing journey and my healing is working. So, but you might burst into tears just thinking about what happened to you, and not even talking about it. So, some people may not understand why the tears. So, you might need to prepare them. You might need to prepare them. And you know, your true friends, they will be curious because they're going to see that something's wrong, even if you don't want to talk about it yet. They will see that something's wrong. And they will usually offer help and then respect your wishes if you tell them that not talking about it is the best way to help you, or that you're just not ready to talk about it. You may really want to talk about it, but are afraid to do so for fear of really breaking down. You're giving the impression of more pain than you really feel, or being criticized or pitied, or creating more hurt for your husband. It may help you to be more open if you simply tell people that giving them the frame, giving them a framework for understanding what to say. Want to or not, you need to be able to talk about it with others. After all, most people engage in a bit of sharing that includes informal, everyday problems, bothering, griping, commiserating, laughing over comical events, and sharing good things. It's part of a general support system that helps people survive marriage, childbearing, and life in general. Keeping little problems little by releasing tension and providing new perspective. If you are so closeted that you don't commit yourself to help, you may prevent some hurt, but you will also add to the already excessive intensity in your marriage and prevent the relief that comes from both support and finding many of your feelings and problems shared by others, no matter what the sexual role in which they play. In short, you need to learn the art of coping with things. Everyone learns it to some extent, but for most people, it is a minor subject. But you need to learn how to do it. Even if you're going to feel like you're the only Democrat in the Republican world, the only Republican in the for many people, it is a minor problem. They take on an usually lifelong coping with it. But you don't have a lifelong, you don't have a whole life to find healing to start now. You can't let it fester until you grow older. You gotta deal with it right now. Closet or one more. They are stifling. They hurt you. Yet in some ways they are safe. There's no way around it. Getting out is risky. You may and probably will get hurt at some point. When you're talking about this stuff, but that's a risk you need to take because that's how you need it to progress. You know, you need to take into consideration both your own needs and the needs of your spouse. Only you and your spouse, and you and your spouse, either independently or together, only the two of you can decide whether the risk of staying in are better than the risk of getting out. And only you can decide how out you dare to be. But make no mistake about it, isolation is hazardous to your mental health, and getting out may be far less hazardous than staying. In dealing with straight society, you do need to be cautious. In a war against bigotry and ignorance, however, you can develop some strategies. Like I said, you need to develop a strategy. You know, like me, I am doing this great work of awareness thing. Yeah, a lot of people don't know that I work with a gamer. So I have t-shirts made, great spouse awareness support. I'm not afraid to wear them. I am not afraid to wear them. So maybe you want to do something like that to show that, you know, you claim whatever is going on, or you want to write down your hurt, or you want to write on any insults that you may hear people say behind your back or whisper, you want to write them down. You never know, one day you might be able to write a book using them. You know, but find a strategy to make sure that you don't let the stigma get to you. You should be yourself. You know, you should be yourself. And you know, you shouldn't set yourself up, though, by proclaiming your situation to people most likely to hurt you. You don't have to tell everybody your situation, and you don't have to answer questions either. You know, at
desensitizing attitude symptoms puts things involved, particularly from unexpected sources, in better perspective. If you retreat after your first bad experience, you will never learn what others have learned. But although some surprises may be bad, more will be good. By and large, people will respond empathetically. There are two pitfalls following a discomfort of your own. Remember that this is simply a way of maintaining or reestablishing the ordinary informal support system that everyone uses. If it's not therapy, if you turn understanding friends into, let me say it again, it is not therapy. If you turn understanding friends into therapy and every social encounter into a therapy session, you will lose friends. Not because of homophobia, but because you yourself have stopped being a friend. You don't want to wear anybody's nerve down with it. This is very hard for some people to handle. Chances are that you don't want your friends to be therapists any more than they want to be. The real crunch may come right after you have confided in somebody, particularly if you have broken down. You may feel foolish. You may worry that your friends think less of you, or your husband, that you have been misunderstood or misrepresented, or are now being pitied. You may even be a bit miffed at some particular response. You may wish you hadn't told and wonder what to say next time you see your friend. Your friend, on the other hand, may also be worried about what comes next and what to say the next time you meet. You may try to avoid each other. Don't. Avoid waiting for your friend to make the first friendly overture or to mention the subject again. It is really up to you to break the ice and ease the transition period, even if you have to make a phone call. If you don't, you may both end up feeling needlessly rejected and hurt. You might plan some potential icebreakers. You could simply be honest about feeling foolish or whatever feelings you have, or say casually like, hey, thanks for listening the other day. I appreciated it and it helped a lot. Hope you'll also feel free to use my shoulder if you ever need one. Whatever you do, don't make any gay jokes. Have another topic ready to mention or chat about and then do something immediately. You know, that's another way to get around it. If you snap at something your friend said, you can apologize. Say you may have been hypersensitive. If you were, and you know he or she was really trying to help, don't pretend. Be honest. You can correct potential misrepresentations by some sentence like, hey, I hope I didn't give you the impression that my life is terrible. Most of the time it's fine. I just need to let off steam every now and again. Thanks for letting me blow up to you. If you keep your next conversation off the subject and then mention it again briefly at some appropriate point in a future conversation, you'll be apt to find that from then on, you and your friend will both feel freer and your relationship will be back to normal and perhaps closer. Confiding in straight friends may or may not be the best first step, particularly if you are up to your neck in turmoil and confusion. A woman's support group, a straight spouse support group, a mixed support group, or an actual therapy group may be both safer and more helpful. So that's why we have our support group online. And like I said before, you can send us an email at fsconnect@gmail.com, and I'll send you some information how you can join the support group. Or you can get on our website at southfloridaconnect.com, and you can get into our forum. Those are places where you can let off steam without offending anyone, because everybody understands what you're going through. Everybody being where you are, and they understand exactly what your path is. Now, when and how to deal with gain anxiety will depend largely on your individual situation and your pre-disclosure starting point. You may know very little about gay orientation and know few people who have gay orientation, and you may not know anybody at all. Your knowledge may be based mainly on stereotypes or on knowing the highly visible minority of people who fit those stereotypes. If so, now is the time to obtain a more accurate picture. Do some reading by creditable authors. You can read books from Bonnie Kay. Bonnie Kay has written several books on this subject, and you can read some of them that will help you to understand this thing better. And you can go to PFLAG and all those websites that will give you information about homosexuality. You can go to transgender websites to learn about transgender information, so that you will be up to speed on what's going on, so that you won't come off sounding homophobic and bigoted like some people. Because that's not what you want to do right now. You want to understand this, you want to learn about it, so you can know how you can handle your situation, okay? So, and you can also talk to your spouse. Talk to them, ask questions. You can meet with some of their friends, but I'm not suggesting that you meet with any of those that he's been messing around with, because this is a little too much for you to handle. I would never ask you to do that unless you are comfortable doing that. You could go ahead, but I would never tell you to do that. But don't be afraid to use the different gay support networks that are available. Just go onto the websites online, and you can do your own private research. Nobody don't have to know who you are. Educate yourself about all of these matters so that you can understand more, and you won't be flying blind. You will probably feel and expect for you. You should be prepared for the fact that you may meet counter prejudice towards straight society. You may, particularly if you are coming from a gay supportive stance and are talking with people who are coming, who you already know, feel that you have been betrayed by friends you already know. Let me say this again. You should be prepared for the fact that you may meet counter prejudice towards straight society. You may, particularly if you are coming from a gay supportive stance and are talking with people you already know and feel that you have been betrayed by friends. You may worry that you are a fool in the eyes of militant gays who do not believe in bisexuality or the compatibility of homosexuality and marriage. You may find yourself wondering if every man you meet has had relationships with your husband. Believe me, that's a possibility. You may or may not wish to meet a person with whom he is involved, and you should make your wishes very clear. And you might find that your husband's friends are even more embarrassed with you than you are with them. You may also find, as one woman said, that you will feel like an outsider whose every move and remark is treated with suspicion, and that you are constantly being unfairly tested. That's a possibility. For the most part, your fears will be unwarranted and are simply a natural phase of learning to cope with stigma. You need to move cautiously, though. But you do not need to move. Okay. This is very important. You need to move cautiously. But you don't really need to do anything. You don't really need to move. The more people you meet, the more you will learn to treat people as individuals rather than labels. To differentiate between those you can turn to as confidants and those you can't, and to find people who will be supportive and helpful. Remember that several straight spouses found their greatest allies in the gay community. And I'm gonna be honest with you that I am one of them. I have gay supportive men who support my work that I am doing with straight spouses. I was surprised that they were so supportive, but because they are open and they're out and proud, and they cannot understand why any gay man would want to do the things that my ex did. They said gay men, open and proud gay men, a bad name. So yes, they're supportive of the work that I do. So I understand when other women say they get support, they get real good support from the gay community. I understand. I'm not like in the community, but I know, you know, a few people who are out and proud, and they don't have a problem having really good conversations with me and giving me, you know, information and stuff like that. So yes, you can have supportive gay friends. And I always tell people not to bother with gay jokes, you know, because sometimes the jokes are deliberately designed to shut out others. Sometimes they show that, you know, you are a bigoted. I don't really indulge in them, and I would suggest that, you know, people don't indulge in gay jokes because it might sound like gay bashing when you really are not. So I would suggest them avoid gay jokes. You know, being a minority is not a question of numbers, but a matter of goals. And as a straight spouse, there are so many millions of us, but we're still a minority. And things change according to situation. And this is, you know, being a straight spouse is one of them. And I just want you to know that you have support no matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening, you have support. And you should not feel that you are alone and you don't have anyone who understands you, because you do. There are millions of us who go through what you are going through now, who've been through what you're going through now, and who understand. I want you to know that we support you wholeheartedly. We support you wholeheartedly. Okay. And we also want you to know that you will get through this. You will get through this. You will get through this, and you will come out a stronger, better person than you are right now. And I want you to know that you did not call your husband to begin. It has nothing to do with you. And you should not accept unfairness simply because it might not have been deliberate, because him being deceptive was unfair to you. You did not put blinders on. He put them on himself, and because he put them on himself, he closed his eyes to what his deception did to you, or would have done to you. So, don't accept any blame for his gay orientation. Whether or not you can get beyond this problem depends partly on your willingness to share your feelings with your spouse, and partly on whether or not he can remove his blinders. Whether he can or not, however, your understanding of what is happening may ease your own self-doubt, and I hope it does, and some of the bitterness that you may be feeling. Do not accept any blame for anything that he has done, because it had nothing to do with you. Nothing whatsoever. Thank you for joining me for Straight Spouse with Me. I am Debbie Thomas Brown, and it was a pleasure to come to you. Be blessed, my Straight Spouse brother and sister.
But I'm stronger. You thought that I'd be broke without you, but I'm richer. You thought that I'd be sad without you, I love harder. Thought I wouldn't grow without you, now I'm wiser. Thought that I'd be helpless without you, but I'm smarter. You thought that I'd be stressed without you, but I'm chilling. You thought I wouldn't fail without you, told my million. I'm not gonna blast you on the radio.